Tonight we'd like to look at another section in Psalm 119. So let's go there. Psalm 119, and actually verses 129 through verse 126. This is another section of 8 verses. We have all of these sections of 8 through the scriptures with more to tell us, more to bring to us. And so actually Psalm 119, to review, is just all about the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. Of course, we've been talking about getting the Word of God into different languages so people can have ownership of the Word of God in their own language. Now, let's read verse 129, something about the Word of God that sometimes we just miss. It says this, "Thy testimonies are wonderful." They are wonderful. "Therefore does my soul keep them." Now, many folks are lied to about the Word of God, that the Word of God is somehow negative, somehow against you, somehow not in your favor. But I love the person that told me years ago what the Bible means, B-I-B-L-E, is, "Behold, I bring life eternal." And what is horrible about that? What is terrible about that? Nothing. And so God, in his wonderment and his beauty, for he is wonderful counselor, you see, his testimonies are wonderful. And this is in the modern translation also, so it's something we don't have to really play with there. They're wonderful. It's a wonderful life. The commandments and testimonies and statutes of the Lord are designed to make, to bring you wonderment, a sense of awe, a sense of dignity, a sense of worth, a sense of non-depression, a sense of holy living, a sense of life. I remember when Josh and Amy were first brought into the ministry here years ago, they had a doctor's appointment together, and it just happened to be a really good day for them, and they went in to see the doctor. And after that, I saw the doctor, and the doctor said, "Those two are just high on life." And I thought that was such a great compliment, high on life. And that's what God wants to do through his testimonies, through his statutes. Your testimonies are wonderful. They're wonderful. "Therefore does my soul keep them." I'd like to turn with you in the scriptures to 1 John 5, verse 3. That actually says the same thing with a different word in the New Testament. So 1 John 5, chapter 3. Now, 1 John is towards the back of the Bible. There's three little Johns in the back of the Bible before you, it's not far from Revelation, the last book in the Bible. So, but when we look at 1 John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. This verse means so much to me and fits in with this verse we just read in Psalm 119, that your testimonies are wonderful. Let's look at verse 3. It says, "This is the love of God." This is the love of God, "that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous," or grievous, whichever way you want to say that word. "That his commandments are not grievous." And it's almost as if the Lord knew, and I'm sure he did because of his foreknowledge, that some folks would say, "Oh, the Bible, how boring, how grievous to have to read the Bible. What a task that would be just unbearable." And yet, as we become a Christian and we begin to walk in the Lord, and we find out that what the psalmist said, that his commandments, his testimonies are wonderful, and his commandments are not grievous. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. In fact, if I want to walk in the powerful ways of Jesus Christ and in a being high on life, actually, and yes, we have our trials, but you know, there's a specialness that begins to grow in us as we stay in the Word every day, that you just cry out with the psalmist, "His testimonies are wonderful. His commandments are not grievous." That's a lie. and Satan is the father of lies, and he tries to build a case for that in so many movies that are made, in so many innuendos against the Word of God and against the people of God, when it's nothing could be further from the truth, because those wonderful, wonderful testimonies that help me get through the day, that remind me of the good and righteous way, that lift my soul when I'm down and begin to work on me until I get my crown, those things are priceless, priceless, and they're not grievous. I'd like to turn to John chapter 10 to kind of put a fullness to this. Let's go to John chapter 10. Now, John is the Gospel of John, so it's the big John in the beginning of the New Testament. John chapter 10, verse 9. This gives us the whole purpose of Jesus coming to be our door to heaven and to come and dwell among us. And it is wonderful to read these three scriptures. Chapter 10 of John, verses 9 through 11. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he should go in and out and find pasture. Now, this is like the door to the sheepfold. And actually, the shepherd himself is the door. When the sheep would go to bed at night, they would be inside the sheepfold. And you can picture like surrounded by walls of some kind to keep the sheep in. And there was no door at all on that sheepfold. The shepherd himself would sleep in the doorway. That's where he would sleep, to keep watch by the flocks by night and to keep them safe in the sheepfold. And so the thing is this, that Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the door. And the only way the sheep could go in or out is through him. And this is the way it is for the believer. And it's a wonderful place to be. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Because we're coming in by way of the King, the way of the Savior, the one that came to save us, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so we go inside the sheepfold with Jesus as the door, and then the Lord leads us out of the sheepfold by day to still waters and green pastures, and we can go in and go out. Go in and go out and find pasture, find a place of good living inside of him. No matter what our lot in life, no matter what our call, there is that preciousness with the Lord. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Or another way to put that is have life until it overflows, this preciousness with the Lord. Now, immediately I think of Ethiopians right now, because I would think, Sudanese, same kind of thing happened in Ethiopia. But the Sudanese, this is a true testimony that we got through Gary Kusinoki, or one of his staff members that went to the Sudan many times. And they were traveling along on a jeep on a lonely desert road. And they saw a family of Sudanese who at that time were being chased by the Muslims to be killed because they were Christians. And they were singing at the top of their lungs and so filled with joy that they couldn't believe their eyes almost to see the joy in these people, this abundant living. It was in these people that had nothing and were running for their lives. It was Christmas, and they were worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. And the joy factor was huge and big and just transparent. Worshiping under one little tree in the middle of nowhere. A sweet, sweet family with joy in their faces and big smiles. Actually, Oscar and Uta and I and Sherry and a few more from our church went to pray for the persecuted church meeting down at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and some of those Sudanese that were in villages. Do you remember this? Some of these Sudanese that were in these villages actually came to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa to speak to us. And that is the one thing they left with me and with us as they spoke, and they were speaking in English so we could understand, is the joy of the Lord with those huge, big Christian smiles. And just talking about, even though they were hungry, even though they were going through the worst situations you could even imagine, that the joy of the Lord would come upon them and they would break out in singing spontaneously in their villages. And you go, how can that be? Well, it can be because the Lord has come to bring us life and to bring it more abundantly until it overflows as we are in contact with the Holy Spirit of God. And allow Him to overcome the problems in our lives by just taking us past that to the peace boots. Were you here for the song? Peace boots. Peace boots. Did you catch that one? With the kids? The kids were singing that. And so, you know, our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. And that peace comes only through the Lord. And so, this is beautiful. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus in verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that's what they were celebrating. And that's what we celebrate. He gives his life for us, for the sheep of God. Now, my point from these three verses is this, is to bring us back. Do you believe in your heart of hearts that someone that has come with this mission to lead you in and out and to save you and to be your door and the good shepherd to give his life for you, and his purpose is to bring you life and that more abundantly, is going to make his commandments to your life grievous? To make his commandments to your life stinking instead of wonderful? Psalmist knew better. Psalmist knew better. His testimonies are wonderful. They are wonderful. And the very best way for your life to be what your life should be is to just fall in love with his testimonies, fall in love with obedience to him. Lord, what's next? And you begin to find out what it feels like to be high on life. Yeah. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or what's going on with you or what problems you have, because you know what? When you look in the face of Jesus Christ, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. As we focus on him and what he did and where we're going later, the rest of it is just wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, so we go through some trials, big deal. You know what Paul calls our trials? Light affliction. And that might be something that would hurt your feelings. Well, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. Everything's happening to me right now. And Paul stands there before you and says, this is a very light affliction. What? No, this is a very heavy affliction. No, it's not. It's light. Because the Bible calls it light. And that the problems and the suffering we go through are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so we get a whole new perspective and begin to see the commandments of God as really love. As love. This is the love of God. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that brings you the particular commandment that you're having trouble with. It's his love breaking you down, working on you to conform you to his image, that you might see how wonderful that work all is and how it's not grievous. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Okay, well, let's go on back to Psalm 119 and take a look at a couple more verses here. Psalm 119. Now, the entrance of thy word gives light. And we read that in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, and this would really be connected to Psalm 142, that as a deer pants for the waters in the wilderness, so my soul pants after thee, O God. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love your name. Now, in some of the modern translations, that part, as thou used to do, isn't there. And that's okay, that's the same meaning. But I'd like to point that out because it kind of ministers when you think of the psalmist thinking back to how God's love was there for Moses at the Red Sea, for Noah at the ark, for Lot and his escape from Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord is merciful. Look upon me and be merciful unto me as you used to do unto those that love your name. He's still doing that. That's something he's still doing. He's still practicing that love for us and hearing us and being merciful unto us. Verse 133 says, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Now I want to spend a little time on this thought. The prayer is this: order my steps, Lord, you lead my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion or rule or power over me. And so God will order your steps in order to keep iniquity, in order to keep iniquity from overpowering you. That's a very loving thing, and that's going to produce abundant living with him. And so sometimes we have trouble walking in the steps that we've been called to walk in and trying to figure it out, because we're not God. There is a God and I'm not him. And we have to realize that in a big way. Aslan is not a tame lion. And so he roars and he brings about things that we don't understand sometimes, but he's ordering our steps. Order my steps in your word. And this is what that produces: not allowing iniquity to have power over me. The things that will kill me, the things that send me to hell, have to be dealt with. And I don't want those things to overpower me, but I want to have victory over those things. And so Jesus then has to step in and order my steps in order for that to happen. And now this will help us to understand a lot better Proverbs 20:24. And let's go ahead and look at Proverbs 20:24. It says this: man's goings are of the Lord. Yep, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Sometimes we don't understand. We can't figure it out because it's the Lord. And he is so much wiser than I. But the sooner I figure this out, that I can't figure it out many times, then I can enter into that joyful living of just saying, Lord, you just have your way. And I'm just kind of excited what you're going to do next, Lord, because I have no idea. And we can just become confident in his leadership because of his love. This is the love of the Lord, to keep his commandments, for his commandments are not grievous. They're designed to bring us into a better life, to help us to be in a better place. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Now, one other thing to add to this idea in the New Testament is Romans 6:14. So if you could turn with me to that, Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Boy, this is a good one to put on your mirror in your bathroom or in your bedroom, wherever you get dressed and look in the mirror in the morning. And that's hard sometimes. But then you can, you know, put a little paint on and you'll be fine. But in Romans 6:14, it says this: sin shall not have dominion over you. So we come back to this word dominion, power. Sin shall not have power over you. This is a promise of God. Why? For you are not under the law, but under grace. When you accept Christ into your life, Christ sees the finished work already of how beautiful you're going to be shining in heaven, like a star, the Bible says in Daniel, like a star in the skies. And His grace has begun the work in you that will complete that work and bring you to that place. And so now He tells us that sin does not have power over us anymore, because we're not under the law of keeping rules and regulations. We're not under that anymore. And not that the law is bad, because the law brings us to Jesus, seeing that we can't keep it on our own. And so we're brought to Jesus Christ. It's like a schoolmaster to us. But we're under grace. That is God's riches at Christ's expense. That He died, He bled, He's forgiven and forgiving and forgave. And all of it's under the blood. And I love the kids tonight. You know, they said, under the blood, under the blood. And it was very sweet. Well, maybe Kathy said that and the kids were acting it out. But under the blood, under the blood, but under grace. We're under the grace of God through Christ. And so this is something to claim and take in for yourself. You know what? God's ordering my steps. You know what? God is leading my way. God is giving me light because He's saving me from iniquity. He's saving me from the iniquity that would just overwhelm me. That's what He's doing. And scriptures like, God will not tempt you beyond what you're able to endure, but with every temptation, provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Scriptures like that come out of this idea. You're under grace, and there's no power in this world that can beat the power of the grace of God through Christ. We are more than conquerors, as we had tonight. To get that, I love that move. We're more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. More than conquerors. Not just conquerors, more than conquerors. No dominion over me. Many a time I prayed this verse and marched up and down in a quiet place. Sin has no dominion over me. Sometimes you got to get rowdy about it. Sin has no dominion, no power over me. Because I'm under the grace of God. And guess what? I'm going out there into this world, but sin has no power over me because of the gift of Christ. And you can go with a passion about that fact, to know that this is true, that you really don't have to sin anymore. You don't have to. And we want to sometimes. We got to pray against that. And we kind of get mousy about it sometimes. But you got to get bold. We had that tonight in our songs too. Well, there's a boldness. You see a boldness about this. Sin has no power, no dominion, is not the master, is another translation, of me. Because I'm not under the law. I'm under grace, under Jesus. And He's working, and He's ordering my steps, taking me places where I am trained by Him already to be able to resist. Because He will not ever allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Now, you might tell Him you are. Lord, I am sorry. And I know what Your word says, but this is too much for me. It's way over my head. And I'm dead because of this situation. And the Lord is just going to look back at you and go, you know what my word says. If you're here and you're tempted, sin has no power over you. I would not ever let you be in a place. He will not allow us to be tempted what's beyond us. He will steer you another way. I love that scripture in the Old Testament where the children of Israel about ready to march into enemy territory. But God knew that they weren't ready yet for that. And so he took them a different way. They weren't ready for war yet. And then later on, he allowed that because he'd been building. He'd been building. And so he takes you step by step in this program of sanctification that he's doing. He knows what you can handle. He knows how far he can take you. And so when the disciples got out of line and didn't have any faith, he said, "Oh, ye of little faith," because he's letting them know. He wouldn't have allowed that particular temptation come where there's a storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee unless they were ready. Unless they were ready to trust him through that. And so the rebuke comes, "Oh, ye of little faith." So God is on the move. He's ordering my steps. A lot of times I'm not going to understand my steps because it's the Lord doing it. But I have to relax and enjoy the ride. Just pay my e-ticket. Well, that's taking me back, isn't it? Get on that e-ride and just let her go. Let go and let God and just one step after the other. And sometimes it gets hair-raising. But he's building us. He's building us. He's building us. And he's keeping us far away from iniquity that would destroy us. And so his commandments are pure love. His statutes, his testimonies are wonderful. Let's say that together. His testimonies are wonderful. Okay, let's try it a little differently now. At the end we do wonderful, okay? His testimonies are wonderful. Yeah, that's good. Praise God. That's the truth of it. That's the way it is. And it's a wonderful, good, good thing. Okay, let's go on back, and we have one more thought here, and then we want to go ahead and pray. Tonight is Afterglow night, and so we're going to have you stand for a song, and then if you feel that you need to go, you can slip out. But there's provision for your kids to stay in the fellowship hall if you want to stay for the afterglow. And we're just, it's a time of waiting on the Lord, allowing the gifts of the Spirit to be used to sing to God, whatever God wants to do. I almost don't want to make a list because we just give it over to the Lord to lead at the afterglow. So let's go ahead and do one more thought here, and then we'll do that. So we go to Psalm 119. And let's do 134 is the verse. Psalm 119, verse 134. If you're wondering how many verses we have to go, it goes to 176, so we're at 134. But it says this, "Deliver me from the oppression of man." Well, there's a good idea. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, "From henceforth, let no man trouble me." Well, I think Apostle Paul's kind of wishful thinking there. "From henceforth, let no man trouble me." But, you know, as you trust the Lord and look to the Lord, you can just walk away from that troublesome man in the power of God. But it says, "Deliver me." The prayer is, "Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep your precepts. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes." Now look at 136, the last verse here. "Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not your law." This can happen. We're told that this is a blessed place to be because in Ezekiel chapter 9, and we had this a few weeks ago, when God's going to destroy Jerusalem, he put a mark on the foreheads with an ink spot of those that sighed and cried at the abominations in the land. He was pleased with them, and they were protected through the destruction of Jerusalem because they sighed and they cried because of the abominations in the land. So we read here, "Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they," others in the society, "don't keep your law." And it just grieves us sometimes, and we're vexed. Our souls are vexed as with righteous Lot. From 2 Peter 2, 5 through 9, it talks about Noah and Lot, and that how his righteous soul was vexed day by day because of the wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so that is something that happens to us. And you can expect this as you see one grievous thing after another on the news or just in your family even sometimes. Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not your law. That's going to happen sometimes. But it is a sign that you're in a right place. It's a sign that you're in a place like Lot, righteous Lot, who was delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah when it rained fire and brimstone, of righteous Noah, who was delivered as the ark went up above the waters, as the earth was flooded. And so this is a normal feeling for the Christian, and something that we endure here on earth that won't be in heaven is just having rivers of waters down our cheeks because of the sin of the world, because of the things we see around us, because of the things that we see in our own families that just break our hearts. And so the Lord wants to minister to you about that. He wants you to be like the psalmist, to pray about that and to come to the Lord and ask for his help. Make your face to shine upon thy servant and teach me your statutes. Why? Because the rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not your law. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. Like the kids are being taught this weekend with the armor of God. We're in a fight. We have to put on the armor of God every day. And as we do, we have that hope in our hearts that yes, one day, just like the angels grabbed Lot and said, come with us right now because we can't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until you're out of here. And righteous Lot was brought to a city called Zoar and protected from the fire and brimstone that fell. The judgment of God. For God hasn't appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our lot, using a play on words. Really, that's our lot, and that's where we're going, because God sees us loving him and loving his statutes, and sometimes it hurts because of those around us and the sin that's around us. But God has overcome the world through the Lord Jesus Christ on that wonderful cross, that he died and shed his blood that we might be free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's say it again. Free indeed. Well, let's stand and pray together.